Welcome, beloved, to this program that is designed with you in mind to cause you to be established in the Word of God. I want to thank you to our service today and get ready to be blessed even as we were blessed. Your life will never be the same.
Now, today's episode.
All right, so let us pray. Father, thank you so much for our faith, brothers. We ask for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, even as we are about to study your word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Today, I want to speak on the topic, entering into a glorious ministry. Entering into a glorious ministry. All throughout the scriptures, God has always been calling people to a purpose. There is always a reason for everything God does. God does not call people just for calling sake. And when you read the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 28, the Bible says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, and to them who are called according to his purpose." So to everything God does, there is a reason behind them. One of the things you must take note is that nothing on this earth was created for creating's sake. As a matter of fact, even when you and I don't know the purpose for a thing, it does not undo the fact that there is a purpose to which God made that thing. Everybody was made for a purpose. As a matter of fact, there is nobody that is empty on this earth. There is no empty man, there is no empty woman, there is no empty child or anything else like that on this earth. If God created you, then you can't be empty. It is very important for us to understand that God doesn't create things just for creating sake. God does not create things just for the fun of it. To everything he does, he has a motive behind them. You know, and so we have to get to the point where we all begin to understand that none of us is empty. None of us is empty. We were all created for a purpose. And anyone calling you empty does not actually know you. This is because nothing God creates is empty. There is always a purpose attached to all the things God made. God doesn't create people and leave them empty. When you read the scriptures in Matthew chapter 25, from the verse number 14 to 15, the Bible says that, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, which called his own servant and delivered unto them his goods. And the Bible says, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another he gave 2, and to another he gave 1, to every man according to his several ability." So from the passage of scripture, it confirms that none of us is empty. There is no human being on this earth that was created empty. So it is very important we come to that realization that each and every one of us in the church is not empty. We all have something which has been given to us by God. God has actually ordained something for us. Perhaps the only difference is that what God might give you to do may vary from what God has also given me to do. We all have different callings and separate individual giftings. But you realize that when all these giftings are harnessed together, it actually reveals God's glory to the maximum. And so that is the first thing I want you to understand, that you are not empty. There is something God has given you. And after giving you all those things, he brought all of us together to use what we have to build the kind of destiny God has given each and every one of us. To Joseph, he was given the ability to interpret dreams. And Joseph used this ability to the maximum and it became a blessing to him. Moses was not given the ability to interpret dreams. Rather, Moses was given a rod. And with that rod, he sang the nation that was responsible for the captivity of God's people. And till today, you and I still talk about Moses. Samson was not given a rod like Moses was given. Rather, Samson was given an unusual and uncommon strength. And with that strength, he was able to deal with the enemies of God in his time. What has God placed into your hands? There are some of us, our giftings may be just a single gift, like we saw from the scripture we just read. One was given five, to another he was given two, and the other person was given one. So it is not really about how many giftings God has put into you, but rather your ability to use what God has given you. That is the most important thing. And so, my dear brother, my dear sister, I want you to believe that there is something God has placed into you. I want you to have the understanding that there is something unique God has deposited in you. Some of you have discovered it. Others have not discovered it. Some of you have even started using it. Others have not started using it. But it still does not undo the fact that there is something unique God has placed into you. David had a multidimensional gift. He was an instrumentalist. He was a songwriter. He was a warrior. He was a king. He was a prophet. He was a priest and all those kind of things. So it is very, very important for us to first of all understand what God has placed into our hands. Solomon was given an unusual endowment with supernatural insight. Solomon had divine wisdom. And with that divine wisdom, look at the kind of wisdom, insights and impartation he was able to give us. Today we read the book of Proverbs and we are blessed. Today we read the book of Ecclesiastes and we come across wisdom. What has God also given you? What has God given you? Elijah was given an unusual prophetic mantle. And with that mantle, he was able to represent God and represent him well. What have you been given? Have you even taken time to look inside of you? There is something unique in you. There is a gift God has placed deep down inside of you. I'm sure Mike Zuckerberg's mother never knew that inside this child she was carrying was Facebook. Bill Gates had Microsoft in him. The Wright brothers, Oliver Wright and Wilbur Wright, created and flew the first aeroplane, and this wasn't them. I'm sure you know about a man called Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison introduced electricity and the first electric bulb in this world. What do you also have in you? What is so unique that God has placed into you? And the truth is that if you can see what you carry, you have no reason to envy others. Therefore, let's stop envying others because of what they have. Rather, let's look inside of us and discover what we have. What God has put inside of you is either an answer to a question or a solution to a problem. In whichever way, there is something you have. There is something you are endowed with. There is something deep down hidden within you which must come out for the world to see. Some of you have a global and a generational solution to things that are beyond human understanding. Perhaps it's because you are not even paying attention to what you have within you. Or what we would need, even in our local church, or what we would need to become that glorious church is something God has placed into us. What we would need to advance in this life is something God has already placed into us. So look down within you. You will see something. It is a potential. And your potential is what you do without struggle or without stress. Whilst others struggle to do certain things, you realize that there are certain key things within you that you do at ease. That is your gift. That is your potential. And you must rise up and take advantage of it and use it to the maximum. One of the reasons why some people still are frustrated despite their gifts is because they have taken the gift they have for granted. Perhaps they think that what they have is so easy such that they don't even see it as a gift. But beloved, I am saying that you are a container with content on a mission to the continent of this world to explode. The world is waiting for what is within you.
and the world is waiting for what is within me. And together, if we can bring together all these giftings, you'll be surprised what God will do to you and to me. So it is very important for you to understand, my dear, that to everything that God does, there is a purpose. To everything that God does, there is a purpose. You and I must try as much as possible to identify that purpose. That is the most important thing in this life. For us to discover what at all God is calling us to do is the most important thing. And so, beloved, I want you to strongly believe that there is a purpose to which God called you. There is a calling God is actually inviting you to fulfill. This is very, very important. And our local church is also no different. To every church, there is an assignment God has given them. And in Perez Chapel as an organization, we are supposed to preach the gospel to the whole world. We are supposed to reach the world through the preaching of the gospel with signs and wonders accompanying or following. So it is good for us to understand that nothing God does is just for doing sake. Everything God does is for a reason. That is why I want you to know that our presence and our gathering in the church is not for just being there sake. There is something unique and something glorious God has ordained for our church. That is why I'm talking to you about how we are going to enter into this glorious ministry. So that is the first thing I want you to understand. And I started by saying that there is something God has given you. There is something unique in you. And with that unique thing God gave you, it is for a purpose. He gave you what He gave you for a reason. There is a reason to which God has given us all the things we have today. And so, child of God, this is something I want you to come to the realization with. That there is something you have, and with that thing that God gave you, it is actually something that will be very beneficial to the fulfillment of the vision of our local church. That is why God placed you in that church. Never think that you are in the church for being there sick. None of us is in church for being there sick. Perhaps because somebody brought you to church, you think, oh well, you are there because somebody brought you. But Jesus told us that no one can come to me unless my Father draws him. Child of God, you were not brought to Perez Chapel. You were drawn to Perez Chapel. I strongly believe that it was God who drew you to join this wonderful family. So this is something I want each and every one of us to come to the realization about. There is something glorious God is about to do in our church. There is a purpose God has given us to fulfill. And if that purpose is going to come to pass and come to pass successfully, it will take your giftings and my giftings. It will take our collective effort. It will take our harness and bringing together of our various abilities and giftings for us to achieve that purpose. And so it is very important. I am inviting each and every one of you to join this movement. It is very, very important. And so we are entering into a new phase of our church. And that phase is what I call the glorious church or the glorious ministry. And we can't just get up and go and achieve it. Because I strongly believe that in as much as God has prepared something unique for each and every one of us, we still need certain things to work in order for us to achieve what God has ordained for us. And if we are going to achieve all the things which seem impossible to us today, we need to bring together, first of all, our faith. There should be faith. We need to believe everything God is saying about our local church. Beloved, let me say this, that our local church is going to be a very great church. Our local church is going to be one of the biggest churches that is going to make impact during our generation in this world. And so this is something I want you to come to the realization about. It is something God is trying to do. And if we are going to achieve that,
We all need to come together. We all need to join our forces together. And first of all, we need to believe. We need to believe what God is saying. We need to trust God for what He's saying. And number two, we need to have a good strategy. We need to have a very, very good strategy. Yesterday, I was discussing with Pastor Derek and Pastor Indelet. When God asks us to go for the crusade, in as much as we heard the voice of God say to us that we need to go for crusades, we had a strategy. We had a strategy. We sat down and we drafted a strategy. We drafted a strategy as to how we were going to achieve that. And so, no, God didn't tell us to pass people to the crusade grounds. God didn't tell us to talk to Eddie, my cousin, to bring instrumentalists from his school. God didn't tell us to go and pick and carry instruments from Temai, what have you. But you see, because we had a strategy, all the two major crusades we've had have been very, very successful. And so if we are going to have a glorious church, we need a strategy. We really need a strategy. And one of the first strategies we need is to have knowledge. Knowledge. Please keep this. Write it down. Knowledge. Nothing works without knowledge. As a matter of fact, Jesus says that people are set free not because of the truth, but because of the knowledge they have about the truth. That is what sets people free. So freedom doesn't come to people because there is availability of truth. Knowledge, you know, freedom comes to people because there is a knowledge of the truth. So Jesus says that you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. So it is the truth that you know that actually sets free. It is not just the truth. And as a matter of fact, it is true that God has ordained something unique for our ministry. As a matter of fact, it is true that God has a very brilliant and a very glamorous purpose for our church. But if we are going to achieve that, we will need a strategy. We will need to put two and two together. We will need to sit down and draft a plan how we are going to achieve that. And I'm saying that one of the first things we are going to do is to have knowledge. That is why I want to urge each and every one of you never to miss any opportunity to listen to the podcast. Because through this medium, knowledge will be imparted to you. Through this medium, we are going to learn about the strategies we are going to use to achieve what God has ordained for us. The second strategy we are going to use is the strategy of prayer. We are going to employ hours and hours of prayer. Very soon, we are going to start having personal prayer all night, personal prayer retreats. We'll be going on prayer walks and what have you. These are things that are very, very important, which we must not throw out, the strategy of prayer. Because nothing works without prayer. The moment you and I stop praying, we are defeating the purpose for which we were called together as a church. Jesus said, as a matter of fact, my house shall be called a house of prayer. So when you see church, when you see the house of God, you should see a praying house, or a house where there is always an ongoing flow of prayer. Number three, we are going to rely on the Holy Spirit. We are going to rely on the Holy Spirit for guidance and for direction. This is because the work of ministry is the work of the Holy Spirit. When we take the Holy Spirit out, we'll be left with mere strategies that is taking us nowhere. But when we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and to direct us and to tell us what to do, trust me, we are all going to see that glorious church God has ordained for us. So it is very important you take note of some of these things. The fourth strategy we are going to use is the strategy of obedience. The strategy of obedience. We all need to be very obedient to authorities, to the people, the kind of leaders God has given us. Irrespective of their age, irrespective of their size, let us
come down and humble ourselves such that we'll be able to listen to everything that God instructs us through them. It is only through the strategy that we can actually achieve what God is planning for us. And so, beloved, I am urging each and every one of you. We need to obey. We need to obey. Obedience should be part of our lives. And the Bible says obedience was the mind that was in Christ. Because when you read Philippians chapter 2, verse number 6, the Bible said, okay, let me start reading from the verse number 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5, the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it no robbery with God. But he made himself of no reputation. That is humility. No reputation. He didn't see himself as anybody. He made himself as a person without any reputation. And the Bible said, and being found in the likeness of men, he took up the form of a servant. And being fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. He humbled himself and became obedient. He became obedient. Obedient. So that is the key thing you and I are going to need. And with time, we are going to take time and delve into all these strategies one after the other until we fully understand what God is trying to do. So we must actually have obedience for authorities. We must be willing to follow instruction. We are all meeting to pray at 7. You should be there. We are all meeting to do this. You should be there. Whenever an instruction is released, each and every one of us must follow this instruction to the latter. That is also going to be one of the strategies we are going to use. Another strategy we are going to use is the listening to messages. There is something unique about listening to messages you and I cannot look down upon. It is very, very, very important. We need to understand this. We all need a strategy. And I'm saying that as part of the strategies we are going to use, we are going to spend time listening to the podcast. Gone are the days where we were able to meet in the church auditorium to learn, to study, and to do all sort of things. Now we may not have that opportunity. Because I know some of you are very busy. Others have traveled. Others are there. But glory be to God that God has given us a podcast. And so you cannot and must not be part of this great church and not be listening to the podcast. Because that is the only way we can train ourselves for the glorious church God is about to give us. And so, beloved, I came to encourage you and I came to assure you that there is something unique God is trying to do with us. But we cannot achieve that without a strategy. We all need to use a strategy. We need a strategy. We need to devise ways and means to do that. And so please, and please again, let us all come together. Let us all come together to plan as to how we are going to do this. And let us also be willing and able to obey every single thing that is communicated down to you. So it is very important. Listening to the podcast is going to be used as a means for training, like I'm doing this evening. We are also going to employ the use of our various giftings. There is something you have I don't have, and there is something I have you don't have. But when we are able to bring all these giftings together, when we harness it, trust me, it is going to be a great benefit to our church. Gone are the days where we used to do things individually. This time around, we are putting a stop to all the individualistic kind of attitude in our church. It is of time we come together as a family. That is the essence of the church. God never created the church for it to be divided. Division is not from God. Jesus never divided the church he built. And if truly the church is what Jesus has built, then we must not divide the church. We must come together. We must all come together to achieve. And I know that this time around, God has anointed us with love. God has brought us together. And so we are going to achieve this vision like never before.
And so each and every one of us need to be fully aware of the strategies we are putting out here. We said that if we are really going to achieve what God has ordained for us, we need a strategy. And I said that with time, we are going to take all these strategies one after the other, try to digest them and dig deeper into them. And so please take note of these strategies. Let me repeat it one more time. I'm saying that if we are going to achieve our vision as a church, we would first of all need the strategy of knowledge. We need to know how all these big churches or these large churches became large. We can't do away with knowledge. Knowledge is key. Knowledge is key. That is the solution to all the problems we are going through. So we need knowledge. We need knowledge. The Bible says, my people are perished for lack of knowledge, not lack of anointing, not lack of oil, lack of knowledge. So where there is no knowledge or where there is limited knowledge, people actually do what they think is best to do. And so each and every one of us must be part of this knowledge-based training where we'll be imparting into you how we are going to achieve what God has ordained for us. Number two, we said we are going to employ prayer, the strategy of prayer. Number three, we are going to employ the strategy of the dependency, total dependency on the Holy Spirit for guidance and for direction. Number four, we said we are going to use the strategy of obedience. We are going to obey instructions. We are going to obey leadership. That is the only way we are going to see how God is going to transform our church from a small church into a big church. Now, we are also going to use the strategy of listening to messages, especially the podcast. And we said that we are going to use that as a means to train us into that glorious church God is about to build. Now, the next thing I also made mention, number six, is the use of our gift. We must all use our gift. Number seven, we must use a genuine Christ-like love. There should be love, not fake love. Sometimes you see, when you see people, you try to laugh and try to smile and try to pretend as if you are really in love with them. But that is not what we are going to use. We need to stop faking love and try to put out real, genuine love. Real, genuine love. This is very, very important if we are going to achieve the kind of glorious ministry God is trying to give us. The next thing is we are going to also need trained men and women who are very committed and loyal to help push the agenda of the church forward. So we need committed men and women. We need people that are loyal. We need people that are ready to serve, ready to help, ready to push the work forward. These are the kind of people we would need to move the work forward. Now, there are going to be so many things we'll be doing, but these are just 10 of those strategies. We are also going to need loyalty. We are going to need loyal men and women, people that will be ready to support the work with the little substance they have. And then the next thing we are going to use is sacrifice. Sacrifice. And I said that with time, we are going to take all these things and digest them one after the other. So may God bless you and may God touch your heart, transform your heart, and give you a brand new heart. Because Jesus said, no one takes a new wine and puts it into an old wine press or old wineskin. When you put a new wine into an old wineskin, it will burst. So you can't actually bring a new strategy to an old person. So I pray that God will renew your hearts. I pray God will transform your minds. I pray that God will help us put behind all the things that has happened in the past. They are gone. And I pray that God will give us a new heart, a new kind of love, a new kind of loyalty, a new kind of commitment to move this work forward.
And trust me, beloved, we are going to learn more on this platform. And so please spend time and listen to the message. Listen to it over and over again. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing and hearing. So as you listen and you listen and you listen and you listen and you listen, you realize that the vision of our local church will become a part and parcel of you. And by the time you realize, you'll be a very great contributor to the fulfillment of this kind of great vision God has given us. With time, I'll be sharing with you so many things which we are going to use to bring our church to where it is. So I want to end here by praying for you. Father, I pray for your children. I ask that you grant them a new heart, like you did for Saul. The Bible said after the anointing of God came upon him, the Bible said Saul's heart was transformed and he became a new man. I pray that these dear listeners will become new people, will become men and women that are going to stand and fight, bring your purpose for our local church to pass. And I pray that, Lord, as they give themselves to your work, as they give in everything they have to serve you and serve you better, you will meet them at their point of need. Now I pray for anything your children will need to help bring the vision of the church to pass. And I pray that, oh God, as they begin to work hard, think about the church and help the church to fulfill its dream, you will also meet them at their point of need. In Jesus' precious name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. We hope you've been blessed by this message. For further information on Reverend Amos Darko's tapes and books, please send us a mail at rev.amosdarko@gmail.com or call +233 503-861-399. Thank you for your time and God bless you.